Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Let me remind you, my dear friends, that we are studying the miracles of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, to refute the claims of Muhammad in the Quran that Isa, son of Mary, performed the miracle of Allah by Allah's permission. So far, we covered 22 miracles. Some of them are actually not just one miracle, but multiple healings. And we just put it in one paragraph, as the scripture described it, that they brought the sick to Jesus and he healed all of them. So as we said before, that the scripture only recorded for us 37 miracles Jesus performed. Some of them are in general talk because we do not know how many people Jesus healed. But what we have seen so far is that none of these miracles Jesus performed because he prayed to God, begged God, asking God to give him permission or to allow him to perform such miracles. But it was all done by his own power, by his own strength. Sometimes people asked for the miracle, sometimes people did not. He just did it because of his compassion and mercy. And Jesus did that to fulfill the prophecies which was written in the Old Testament. For example, Isaiah wrote around 700 years before Christ came in the flesh, as we read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 5 and 6. Here is the prophecy of prophet Isaiah. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness. That is a great prophecy. And today in our first miracle, which is miracle number 23, we'll see the fulfillment of that prophecy. For, as Isaiah said, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the tongue of the dumb sing. Here we see in this miracle the fulfillment of these two prophecies. As we read in the book of Mark, chapter 7, beginning from verse 32, we read, then they, that is the people, from the 10 cities of the Sea of Galilee, brought to him, and him here is our Lord Jesus, one who was deaf and impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. In verse 33 we read, and he, that is our Lord, took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears and he spit and touched his tongue. And here is a miracle. In verse 34 we read, then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephpha, that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed and he spoke plainly. Do you see the miracle which came to fulfill the prophecy of prophet Isaiah? That man who could not hear, now his ears are open and he can hear. The man who could not speak, now he is speaking. Once again, we have to understand here, when our Lord Jesus looked up to heaven, he was not praying to the Father, please, Father, help me. Please give me permission. Please allow me to perform that one miracle. But Jesus performed this miracle with his own power, with his own strength. Now let me share with you miracle number 24, which is about the feeding of the 4,000. We learn about this miracle from the book of Mark chapter 8, beginning from verse 1. And let me share with you a summary to this account. You see, the crowd was large and they did not have what to eat. Jesus told his disciples, I feel compassionate on that crowd because they have been here now for 3 days and they do not have anything to eat. And if I let them go to their homes fasting, they maybe become weak on the way back to their homes, because some of them were from far away places. So Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where can we buy food for all those people here in the wilderness?" So Jesus asked them, "What do you have from the bread?" They said, "Seven loaves of bread." So he ordered the crowd to sit on the ground, and Jesus took the seven loaves of bread, and he gave thanks, and he gave to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the crowd. And they also had a few small fish, and Jesus also blessed them, and he said to them to pass these fish as well. So they all ate, and they were full, and they filled seven large baskets of leftover fragments. And in verse 9, we read that, "Now those who had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away." And I love it how when Muslims read that miracle in the Bible, they did not say, "Glory to God, what a great miracle." No, they found an error in the Bible. Why? Because when we were reading in the Gospel of Matthew before, Jesus fed 5,000 men, and he fed them from two fish and five loaves of bread. But now we see an error in the Bible, because here we see 4,000 people, not 5,000 men, not even include the women and the children, and seven loaves of bread, not five loaves of bread. Add to that, in the book of Matthew, there were two fish, but here we got some small fish. There must be an error in the Bible. Now we see there is a contradiction between the writing of the Gospel of Matthew and the writing of the Gospel of Mark. Obviously, this is just nonsense. Why is that? Because as we said earlier, Jesus performed many miracles, and not all of them are written. And the miracle which was written were written for one reason, that we know for sure that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing in him, we will have life. But here is the answer for that contradiction in the Bible. There is no contradiction at all. Why is that? Because the feeding of the 5,000 men has nothing to do with the feeding of the 4,000 people. And the evidence is very simple, that Matthew wrote both miracles. Yes, Jesus performed the first miracle, which we read in the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. That is the feeding of the 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. But also Matthew wrote to us about the second miracle, which is the feeding of the 4,000 people, which comes in Matthew chapter 15, verses 32 to 39. So there is no contradiction. There are two separate miracles which Matthew mentioned in his gospel. And once again, when we examine that miracle, we'll see that Jesus did not beg God for his will, or may God give him permission to perform that miracle, but Jesus did it with his own power, simply because he is God in the flesh. Similar to the misconception about the feeding of the 5,000 or the 4,000, we will be covering two more miracles. That is miracle number 25 and 26. And these two miracles are about healing a blind man. Some Muslims may read these two miracles in the book of Mark and in the book of John, and they will say, look, there is another contradiction in the Bible. How can Mark and John write the same story with complete different information? Not realizing, once again, that they are two separate blind men. Jesus healed both of them.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straightway of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Now, the first one we'd like to talk about is the healing of the blind man at Bethsaida. And that is what we read in the book of Mark, chapter 8, beginning from verse 22 to 26. For there we read, "Then he, that is our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, came to Bethsaida, and they, the people there, brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him." In verse 23 we read, "So he, that is our Lord, took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, 'I see men like trees walking.'" In verse 25, "Then he, that is our Lord, put his hand on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly." In his interpretation, William MacDonald asked few important questions, like why Jesus took this man outside the village before he healed him, why he did not heal the man simply by touching him, why Jesus spit on his eyes before he healed him, why this man did not receive full sight first time directly. By the way, this is the only miracle which Jesus performed which was not fulfilled 100% right on the first time. And finally, why Jesus did not allow that man to share that miracle with the people of his village. To answer all these questions, we must say that our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ is sovereign, and he has all the authority to do whatever he wishes. No one will tell him why you do it this way or that way. Perhaps there are meaning for why Jesus did what he did, but we do not understand it. Maybe there was some spiritual lessons we can learn from that miracle. For example, why Jesus took that man out of the village before he healed him? Maybe it is for people to be separated from the world before Christ can work in their life. Why Jesus performed that miracle different than previous ones? Because he is in full authority. He is in full charge. He can do whatever he wishes. Why this man did not have full healing first time? Maybe there is also a lesson here. Remember when the disciples of Jesus believed in him and followed him and walked with him? They left everything to be his disciples, but they did not have the full understanding of who Jesus is until after the resurrection. That is when our Lord shared with them all that which was written about him in the Old Testament, and there alone they could have full understanding of who Jesus is. And we can go on and on and on with different opinions about why this miracle was different than others. But here is what we know. Jesus healed the man's eyes, and he did not beg God the Father for a permission or to allow him to perform such a miracle. He did it by his own power with his own will. Now let's move on to the next miracle, which is miracle number 26. For we also learn about another healing of a blind man. But this time we know from the scripture that that man was born blind. And there is a great lesson and a great testimony we learn from that miracle, which is mentioned in the book of John, chapter 9, beginning from verse 1. The story goes as follows. You see, our Lord was traveling with his disciples, and they saw a man who was blind from birth. Now the disciples asked Jesus, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" That is a norm in the mindset of the Jewish people. Wherever you see a problem, it must be as a result of sin. But obviously, Jesus taught his disciples a great lesson when he said, "Neither him nor his parents. But that blood is actually to show the works of God which our Lord will accomplish through him. Jesus taught his disciples that he must work as long as there is daytime, but night is coming when no one can work. And that's when our Lord said to his disciples that he is the light of the world. And what a great miracle to take place in that man's life who was blind all his life. He never saw light. And now the Lord is about to perform a miracle so that he may see the light for the first time of his life. Now Jesus performed the miracle, this time by spitting on the earth. And he made mud. And he anointed his eye with that mud. Then Jesus asked that man to go to the pool of Siloam and wash his face there. And he went and he washed and he became seeing. Now the neighbors who saw him before blind said, "Is it not that the blind man who used to beg?" Some people said, "Yes, he is." Others said, "No, he just looks like the one who was blind." But he answered them and said, "It is I." So the people asked him, "How were your eyes opened?" He answered them by saying, "Well, a man named Jesus made mud and he anointed my eyes and he asked me to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I did. And now I see." They asked him, "Where is that man?" He said, "I do not know." Now let us look how the Pharisees, who remind me of our dear Muslim friends, react to that great miracle. They brought the man who was blind and they realized that that miracle took place on the Sabbath. So the Pharisees ask him, "How do you see?" And he repeats the same account again about the man who made mud and he anointed his eyes and he asked him to go and wash and he became seeing. Then in verse 16 we read, "Therefore some of the Pharisees said, 'This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath.' Others said, 'How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?' And there was a division among them to investigate the matter in depth. The Jews, who did not believe that that man was blind, they brought his parents and they asked him, 'Is this your son whom you say that he was born blind? How can he now see?' His parents answered, 'We know that he is our son and he was born blind. As for how he sees, we do not know. Who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is a grown up. Ask him. He will speak for himself.'" Now the Bible tells us why his parents did not answer the question. In verse 22, "For we know that they were afraid, for the Jews has made a covenant. Anyone will confess that Jesus is the Christ, he will be kicked out of the synagogue." Then his parents asked the Jews to ask him directly. After all, he's a grown-up man. So they brought the man who was blind back once again. And they asked him to give God the praise. As they said to him, "We know that that man is a sinner." Amazingly, in verse 25, "The man who was blind said, 'Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see.'" Yes, indeed, Jesus came to perform that miracle for the blind to see, because Jesus is the light, and through him, that man who was blind can see. We continue in verse 26 to learn that they want him to testify again, to let them know what did Jesus do to him, how he opened his eyes. And in verse 27, "I believe that man was frustrated and he said, 'I told you, but you did not hear. Why do you want to hear me again? Do you want to become disciples of him?'" But in verse 28, we read, "Then they reviled him and said, 'You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples.'" In verse 29, they continue, "We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." In verse 30, we read, "This man who was blind and now he sees answered and said to them, 'Why, this is marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes.' Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him." Continuing with his testimony, he said in verse 32, "Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Then we read in verse 34, they, these are the Jewish people, answered and said to him, you were completely born in sin, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. Remember, the disciples of Jesus at the beginning of this account asked Jesus a very important question. Who sinned, this man or his parents, because he was born blind? And here we see the Jewish teachers are telling him that he was born in sin because he was blind. Sadly, the Jewish people did not learn the great lesson which the disciples of Jesus learned. And that comes from the reading of verse 3. That is, when Jesus answered them, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I wish the Muslims who read the Quran can understand that simple fact. When we examine the verses of the Quran concerning the blind, we will be shocked to know that Allah clearly teaches that there is no guidance for the blind. Muhammad could not heal the blind. And those who are blind in this world will also be blind for eternity. As Allah also teaches throughout the Quran that if there was any good in the blind, Allah would have never made him blind. Obviously, neither Muhammad nor the Muslims nor the Jews can understand the great lesson from these miracles concerning the healing of the blind. For once we were blind, but now we can see because of Jesus and what he has done for us. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.